The Youth's Instructor, February 11, 1908, New Year Resolutions. Although in one sense, the first day of a new year is no more to God than any other day, yet he often puts into the heart of his children at that time a desire to begin the new year with good resolves, perhaps with plans to carry out some worthy enterprise, and with purposes to depart from the wrongs of the old year, and to live the new year with new determinations. In God's plan for his ancient people, he gave the command, "On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle." We have no tabernacle to set up, as had the children of Israel, but we have a work of building to do, the importance of which all need to understand. "Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building," said the apostle. If we will work with God in the building of this tabernacle, establishing it firmly on the broad principles of heaven, then it can truly be said of us, we are laborers together with God. We are yet in the early part of the new year. Let this work of consecration and progression be begun without delay. Let this first part of the new year be given to the work of pruning away the branches of selfishness. Let the mind turn with clear discernment to the work of examining critically our individual course of action. It is not our privilege to measure the actions of others or criticize their failings. God has not made us the bearers of others' sins. It is with our own selves we have to do. The more thorough the work of repentance and reform in our own lives, the less we shall see to criticize in others. We do wrong when we measure ourselves by the defects we see in others. God does not do so. He understands the circumstances of every life, and he measures the human being by the advantages that each one has had for perfecting a Christian character. He takes into consideration the opportunities the human agent has had for obtaining a knowledge of God and his truth. He who has a true estimation of the law of God will not compare his character with the character of others, or be led into having a pharisaical opinion of himself. He will judge his life by the holy law of God. When a certain lawyer came to Christ with the question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Christ said to him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." The lawyer recognized the two great principles which underlie the law of God. Jesus said to him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." It is for our own benefit and safety that God asks us to abandon the selfish and questionable projects and make thorough work in cleansing the soul temple of sin. In his instruction to his disciples, the Savior shows how complete must be the work of eradication of evil. "If thy right eye offend thee," he declares, "pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." The fourth chapter of Ephesians contains precious instruction for the children of God at this time. We are to make continual advancement in the perfecting of Christian character, that we may be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.